Hey, it's Prophecy Sun. When I'm not riding my bike, hanging out with my cats, or making soup, I'm listening to Tweets and Tunes on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
And good morning, Vancouver. You are listening to CIT Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the beautiful campus of the University of British Columbia here in Vancouver. This is Tweets and Tunes. It is Wednesday, December the 5th at 6:30 in the morning. Rise and shine, Vancouverites and people of the Lower Mainland. I got a great show coming up for you today, and it's my absolute pleasure to have Vancouver royalty in the station. This morning I've got Rebecca Bullwit, Miss 604 here. Rebecca, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
Good, good. Welcome to the station. Welcome to CITR. Thank you for getting up at an ungodly hour to come in here and sit with us this morning. So we're going to get into a bunch of social media stuff with Rebecca. Talk about some local goings-ons, some things happening in the spotlight in social media right now. You know, it's amazing when I looked at your resume on your website and your list of accolades. So I'm gonna read a few off here. 2012 Best Local Twitterer, Georgia Strait. 2012 Best Local Blog Runner-Up, Georgia Strait. 2011 Best Local Blog. 2011 Best Local Twitterer. 2011 One of Canada's Most Beautiful, Vancouver Observer. 2011 Best Local Blog. 2010 The Vancouver Sun's Top 100 Women of Influence. 2010 Best Local Blog. 2010 Best Local Twitterer. 2010 Best Local Blog. 2009 Finalist of the Impact Entrepreneur Group Women Entrepreneur of the Year. 2009 Vancouver's Top Twitter User Georgia Strait. 2009 Best Local Blog. And there was a little link right under that says click for more. But you know, my self confidence is so crushed at that point that I couldn't go on to read further. But obviously, just an incredible. Incredible history that you've had already, you know, in a short period of time, as far as the influence that you've garnered and just how many people you pack now. You built your first website in 1997.
I did, yes.
Now, was that like a real one or like a tripod?
It was, I used Netscape Communicator.
Yes.
So it wasn't on GeoCities or Tripod,
yeah.
Which I kind of wish it was. That'd be kind of cool. But I did have the animated GIFs, the cool old school animated GIFs, like the under construction guy.
Yeah.
Not the animated GIFs we have today. But it was actually a fan page for my favorite band at the time.
Which was?
Less Than Jake.
Less Than Jake.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, the Netscape. And the Netscape browser. That was so
yes.
Great. With a little broken Netscape thing up in the corner when it didn't work.
Yes.
Yeah,
that
little line through
cream.
It. Yeah, yeah, it was fantastic. You've been blogging since 2004. Mm-hmm. You've been tweeting, first tweet on March 10th, 2007.
Yes. Did you look that up?
I did.
Oh, wow.
I did. Do you know what your first tweet was?
I don't know.
No, me neither. I couldn't find it, actually. You know, you can only go back about 3,200 tweets. And
like
since,
hot dogs.
Since you've got to be... I have shoes. Yeah. But, you know, as you're over about, I think, 37,000 now, it was a little... I couldn't have... Supercomputers. NASA's still trying to crunch your first tweet, so... author of two books.
Yeah.
Blogging to Drive Business and Blogging to Drive Business, the second edition. Yes. Someone creative. You just ran out of names quickly for that? Or?
I don't know.
Okay.
We were asked to do a second edition, so we did. I call it two books, which it is two books, but we have 100 more pages in the second book. But, yeah. It's the first book with 100 more pages.
Okay.
Which I worked on all the first part of this year, so.
Fantastic. And we were talking before we went on air that, you know, obviously you are a prolific writer, you know, with the blogging that you do, and not just the blogging, but the amount of tweets, the amount of information that you put out, contributions you make to other periodicals. Periodicals, can we still call them that these
yes.
days?
Yeah, I like that word. Yes.
Okay, good, yes, good, 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 good. both digital and paper. So, you get up and you spend about how long writing each morning?
I'll do about 2 hours after I get my coffee, and I'll schedule posts for the day. So if I know what I'm going to write and there's nothing super pressing or I have a contest in my schedule already, I have a contest calendar, I do a lot of contests, then I'll spend about 2 hours writing and scheduling about four different posts for the day.
Unbelievable. Now, it's a question here. Who do you use to schedule your posts? Do you use like Timely or?
I use WordPress for my blog, and then
okay.
For WordPress, you can schedule your posts. You just set a date in the future for publishing.
Right, and then it just kicks to your Twitter.
Yep.
for your tweets up there.
Yep, but I also use Hootsuite for scheduling on Twitter.
Hootsuite, yes, Dave. Dave Olson.
Have you had him in?
Oh, Dave and actually, Dave made me come to see him. You can visit us on our website at tweetsandtunes.com and see our interview there with Dave. And we spent about an hour just talking music and social media. And he's got just such a great mind and such a great history and just road of experience with music when the time he spent down in Olympia, down in Washington, mm-hmm. and a lot of the bands have been through. But he's just such a top-notch individual. And I noticed Dave was like one of the first 10 people you ever followed on Twitter.
Yes. Wow, yes. You did research.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went deep.
He was actually one of the first people that, when my husband moved here, my husband's originally from Iowa, mm-hmm. and he came to Vancouver, and one of the first people we met from the internet together was Dave Olson, because they listened to each other's podcasts. They both did podcasts, and John listened to Dave's, I think, Chugalon was going on at the time, so we listened to that one, but...
Yeah, no. He's an outstanding individual. So we're always excited to talk to Dave. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to spin a little music, and then we're going to get back into some more social media stuff. So, CITR's Battle of the Bands, Vancouver's longest running Battle of the Bands show, Shindig, wrapped up last night after several grueling months of bands fighting it out. And congratulations to the winners. Praying for Greater Portland were crowned last night as 2012 Shindig winners at the Railway Club. And we'll have some stuff coming up from them next week. Not this week. But speaking of Shindig winners, previous Shindig winners from CITR's Battle of the Bands were recently named by Spin as the number 3 album of the year and by Paste, the number 1 album of the year. Also Spin's Band of the Year, previous Shindig winners. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the Japandroids.
Oh, this life with no fixed address to give. But you're not mine to die for anymore, so I must live. Born of a bottle from heaven's hand, and now you know, and here I am.
And you're back on CITR in studio with me, my guest today, Rebecca Bullwit, at Miss 604 on Twitter, and of course, of Miss 604 fame, and your production company, 640
Media? 64
Media. 64 Media.
Yeah.
So close.
We didn't want to go with 604 for some reason, so we had to make it really complicated.
Sure, sure. So, you know, for those of us that, you know, maybe you're a little dyslexic, it's your choice to play with us a little
yes.
bit.
And, yeah, okay. It's a little cruel.
Yeah, yeah, okay, okay, good, good. Well, nothing like cruelty to start off a Wednesday morning. You just heard the Japan Droids from the album Celebration Rock, previous Shindig winners. And after that, it was Laurel and Alexander from their brand new EP, Life Underwater, and that was Moon Kids, the Etherwood remix. Laurel and Alexander, a couple that met up in Whistler, local band that were recently signed by UK label Boom Ting Records. And you can find them on Twitter at Laurel Alexander. We're going to play a song coming up here from an older one, one we've had in the station here for a little over a year and a bit. Darlings of Chelsea from their album Panic is Worse Than Emergency and their song Call to Arms. And the reason we're going to play this one today, it was interesting. They've recently put out a video, and Rebecca, I know that you saw, had a chance to look at it last night, but they did something really unique. You know, in this day and age, and specifically in the world of indie music, cost is always something that is on the forefront of most bands' minds. You know, a lot of the bands aren't doing this professionally at this point. Obviously, that's what they would like to be. So when you're talking about getting in the studio to record or talking about making videos, if you can do it on the cheap, that's usually the best way to go. But these guys had a great idea, and they had $120 to spend on a video, and they went to a website called Fiverr, and that is Fiverr.com. And Fiverr is a site where you can go and pay $5, as the name says, to do whatever. If you want someone to design a landing page for you, if you want someone to do a voiceover, someone to make a little skit, do a claymation drawing, just about anything. And so Darlings of Chelsea went and bought 24 Fivers for a total of $120 videos that people had done and strung together their entire video. Tell me about your thoughts. What did you think when you saw that?
I thought it was really well done. Yeah. people have been crowdsourcing content or videos or things for quite a while online. I mean, you can go and ask for a logo and people will bid on it and pitch it and just get the crowd to create something for you. But yeah, I love the $5 idea for something, for promoting something. Now the claymation, I'm curious about that too. I might want to get something made.
Yeah, $5 for claymation.
Yeah.
And the Scrabble board and anything. It's an amazing video. You know, when you think there's $120 worth of your video, you can go find out the video. You can head to our website, tweetsandtunes.com, and go to the videos section, and you will see our three videos, but Darlings of Chelsea has our video of the week with Call to Arms. So make sure you go and check that out. And you can talk to us today here on the show. You can reach us via phone at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You can also find us on Twitter at Tweets and Tunes or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tweets and Tunes. Well, let's get right to the Darlings of Chelsea and Call to Arms.
Try to fight it. And Last year, over 650 BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
And we're back on Tweets and Tunes. You just heard Darlings of Chelsea from the album Panic is Worse Than Emergency and their album Call to Arms. And finishing off that set was Nikki and the Dove from their album Instinct and DJ Ease My Mind. We are back in studio with Rebecca Bulwit of Miss 604 and 640. No, 64 Media. Yeah, yeah. It's going to take about another hour or so before I get them. By then you'll be gone, so it'll be irrelevant. Anyways, one of the things that I'm always curious about when talking to folks that have such a great social media presence is, what is it that has driven your success? What do you really find? You know, it's incredible what you've accomplished, and obviously you have to be able to have the skills and the talent to be able to do that. But in your mind, what is it that's driven the success that you've had?
I think that, well, for me, I kind of went into it as it was something I loved to do. It was a hobby. It was a hobby first. And I think that's what kept me going, because I like to do it. And so many times, you know, I'll give talks about blogging and, you know, give businesses advice. And then one of the number one questions I get is, how do I make money blogging? I'm like, that was not at all what I went into this for, but it's kind of, that's kind of the driver for a lot of people, is I want to start writing something and I want to make money right now. And I think for me, that was always just, it wasn't even in the back of my mind. So it was easy to do and easy to start building up a presence and just wanting to become a resource and share my thoughts and share knowledge about Vancouver. And I guess that's just what kept me going. And so you have to have that ultimate passion about what you're doing to keep going and build from there. And I think, yeah, I think that just helped me throughout the whole way. Like, why am I doing this? Even the nights when I'm crying and I'm getting hate mail and things on Twitter, and I'm like, oh, because I like to do it. Oh yeah, I guess so.
You receive hate mail on Twitter?
Every now and then, yeah, you get the angry comments, but yeah.
No one is safe. No one is safe on social media. So where did the passion start from? Because, you know, obviously Twitter hasn't been around forever, and mm-hmm. you know, nor has a lot of the social media. So where did it start? Was it writing? At what point in your life, you know, what was really the genesis of it?
Well, I've always loved writing. I'm afraid I don't do enough creative writing right now. I do more just general reporting and things like that. I've always loved the web. Well, my first website was in 1997, so I was 17 then. And I've just always loved publishing stuff and using the computer. We've had a computer in my household since I was very, very little. So kind of tinkering with the internet, tinkering with computers. And my first job in the online realm was in 2000. I started working for .com doing online broadcasting and doing webcasting, audio, financial audio calls, conference calls, and AGMs and things like that. And that just led to a bigger career in online media. Meanwhile, I still had this passion for writing and self-publishing and doing things online. And those two paths just kind of merged when blogging came about. I was able to publish and do more, you know, with platforms like Blogger and Blogspot when I first started. And then it just kind of merged with my online, or with my career in the online realm. And yeah, just kind of went from there.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting from the campus of University of British Columbia. And we've got Rebecca Bullwitt from 64 Media in studio with us today. I know when, you know, for myself, I find, you know, things like blogging and writing is never really, you know, I hated journaling in school. And now I try to teach my son that it's important to journal. And he hates it as much as I do. And I find it, you know, difficult to blog, and I think it probably the consistency and just being able to continuing to do that. What do you think are the three things that would keep people from blogging or being able to stick with it? Because you see so many, you know, those that can blog and do it prolifically, obviously it shows results. But for those, you know, you can go onto anyone's blog and a lot of blogs out there and look at them. Oh, that was a great entry 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and then I posted it. Also saw how some people Twitter as well, you know, yeah. They're less Twitter from 2008. What do you see three things, like three stop gaps to people continuing to be able to blog effectively?
I think number one is time. People don't have enough time to write. So actually, I'll back that up. Number one is having that goal in mind. So what is your goal? Is it going to be a hobby? Is it going to be something that makes you money? Is it for your business? So once you have that in mind, then you can think about the time you're going to invest in it. So a lot of people think, yeah, I don't have time to write this post. I don't have time to check Twitter. I don't have time to, you know, reply to comments, especially if it's just a hobby for them. If you're a full-time business blogger, hopefully you are making the time because you're getting paid to do it. But yeah, just finding the time. I over the years, I've been able to see like my site stats and see when people are reading and when they're not. And I realized on the weekends, people don't really check my site. So I don't need to publish anything. I don't need to wake up in the morning and kill myself trying to publish something because no one's there anyway. Everyone's out enjoying the city with their family. So for me, I make that time for myself. Okay, weekends off. I don't need to do any more writing. And then during the week, I've figured out the certain times of day where I'm going to write. But what really helps is having a schedule. So you can have every Thursday, I'm going to write something. And just make that a goal. You can have themes like Wordless Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I'm going to post nothing but photos. So those are things that help you manage your time. But so I guess time, maybe money. Maybe they don't have the... Although it doesn't take much money to blog. I should take that one back. The technical know-how, which is kind of a myth. You don't need to be technical at all to blog. You can go to WordPress.com, Blogger.com, and sign up for a blog in 3 minutes and start publishing. So I think a lot of things that prevent people from blogging or prevent them from continuing on are just things that can be managed in a better way. It can be done. And if they love writing, they can find a way to do it.
Hmm. What do you see as... three either must-haves in blogs, or maybe even better way to phrase that would be, what do you see as three glaring errors when you look at other blogs out there, what they're missing?
Well, I think it is kind of fading off and, starting with 10 blogs in January and having nothing again until September. So I think consistency, at least once a week, try to get something up there, even if it is just a photo. If you want traffic coming back and if your goal is to entertain people or to provide information, provide something at least once a week to come in, to get people to come into your site. Another thing is, again, it depends on your goals. You could go to a website and have pop-ups and flashes and all those annoying banner ads and things spinning everywhere wanting you to help them make money on something. Don't inundate your audience. You could do that if you wanted to. There's a blogger called John Chow, and his motto is, I make money blogging by telling people how to make money blogging. So you go to his website and they've got all these banner ads and newsletter signups and pop-ups. And if that's your goal, then that's fine. But it turns a lot of people off. And then I think what turns people off on blogging are when they go to your site or maybe something maybe you shouldn't do. I don't know. I think it's just that, the consistency, annoying content, tiny writing. Don't have tiny, tiny fonts on your site. It's really hard to read. Just make your site really easy to read. And, no glaring typos. Typos turn people off, too.
Sure. And I guess as far as content goes, too much, too little, as long as it's, I guess, engaging and interesting, or where do you kind of draw the lines as, when do you start losing people on a blog as you're reading?
I think too much isn't a problem. I think if you have an idea for 10 different posts, save them for 10 different days. So every day people have a reason to come back and read you, and you don't have a big block of 10 posts to get through as soon as they get to your site.
Okay. Who have you seen out there that have been blogging, doing something that you say, hey, that's really unique, or I really like the approach that they've taken? Who's kind of wowed you out there in the blogosphere?
Who's wowed me? In Vancouver or in general, overall?
Go ahead. The world is your oyster.
Wow. I don't know. A big thing for me when I started blogging was reading other blogs and getting ideas for things and just meeting other bloggers. And I don't know, there's some blogs who do it really well, like BlogTO in Toronto. They're kind of the model for what a city blog should be. So they have a bunch of writers. They have... history posts, they have events, they have best of the city, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's what a lot of people try to do if they're a city-specific blog. I like Vancouver's Awesome. Things like Van City Kitty, I always mention, because it's so simple, profiling a cat, a local cat. I think having those, especially if you're a group site, pulling in people who want to provide that unique bit of content, if it is about a cat every week or if it is about a band or an artist every week. I love group sites for that because you have so many different voices and each voice knows exactly what they're talking about and what they want to share.
Absolutely. Last question for the moment, anyways. Mm-hmm. When you're out there and you're blogging, and the reason I wanted to ask this is that this is going to I guess, get into a little bit of the social media aspect, and, you know, social media, or as they refer to it sometimes, as anti-social media. There was a horrific incident last weekend down in the U.S. With the Kansas City Chiefs NFL football team, and one of their linebackers, Jovan Belcher, basically engaged in a murder-suicide. And it's not obviously where I want to shed the light at this point, but the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Brady Quinn, made a comment at this, and I just thought it was a really interesting view on social media. And this was his quote. He says, "It was tough. I think it was an eerie feeling after the win, because I don't think that you can win in this situation. The one thing people hopefully try to take away, I guess, is the relationship they've had with people. I know when it happened, I was sitting and in my head thinking, what could I have done differently? When you ask someone how they're doing, do you really mean it? When you answer someone back, how are you doing, are you really telling the truth? We live in a society of social networks with Twitter pages and Facebook, and that's fine. But we have contact with our work associates, our family, our friends, and it seems like half the time we are more preoccupied with our phone and other things going on instead of the actual relationships that we have right in front of us. Hopefully people can learn from this and try to actually help if someone's battling something deeper on the inside than what they're revealing on a day-to-day basis." What are your thoughts on where social media has been great for society? Like, I can look and see just so many wonderful things that have come from social media. Mm-hmm. But I think there's certainly, you know, a flip side to that. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that we definitely need to learn to have those times where we disconnect. And it can still be social, and you can still schedule tweets and put things out if you're concerned about traffic. But that a big thing for me, even building an online presence, was building those offline connections as well. So going out and meeting people in person and making those face-to-face connections actually helped my online presence. But I didn't need to sit there and tweet the whole time. So like on Saturday was my sister's birthday, so I scheduled tweets and I hardly posted anything. I posted an Instagram photo of like Pokemon cards that I found at her house. But when you're with people in that situation, you really need to just appreciate the in-person connections. And then later you can go home and you can Facebook all the photos from the night and crazy videos of people doing Just Dance 4. And I hope my sister does not post that. But you can post and report on that later. But yeah, it really is those in-person connections. And just like the other day, someone popped into my head, so I sent them a Facebook message and I just said, you know, how are you doing? And if I had her number, I would have called her. There's just the value in, I think, phone calls as well, and, mm-hmm. and meeting people and seeing people in person and making those connections. Another thing is when my husband and I are out at a restaurant and we'll be having a discussion, a conversation, and we'll both pick up our phones, and it's not to text or it's not to pull away from our discussion. It's actually maybe to Google something, to challenge each other, to fact check. And the server always comes up. This has happened a few times. Server always comes up and says, "Are you two texting each other?" Like, no, we're not texting each other. But actually, we're using our phones to actually help our conversation and to prove, you know, that I'm right, obviously, about something.
Sure, obviously. Yeah. Or to prove his incorrectness.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Well, I'm married. I understand that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? You are listening to CITR Tweets and Tunes on 101.9 FM, and in studio, Rebecca Bullwitt from Miss 604 and 64 Media. And back to some music. This is Mohawk Lodge from their album Damaged Goods.
Things are falling on my head. Things are falling. We'll be right back.
On Friday, December 14th, the Holiday Hustle begins with the second annual benefit for the W2 Community Media Arts Society. Over three floors of performances, including The Librarian vs. Self-Evident, Mandai, Vendettas, Bastet, Cherchez la Femme, and many more. Check Holiday Hustle 2 on eventbrite.ca for special deals, or grab tickets at W2, Beat Street, Zulu, High Life, and Red Cat.
Top skank, Scotty Spanks butts, he skanks when he struts. No one told him never to be rude.
Boy,
he dresses like a gangster,
he wrestled with an hamster.
He's here to get you all in the nude.
Boys
and girls,
it's not just this scene old show on your radio. Scotty's Scenic Drive, Monday 11 a.m. to noon, 101.9 FM, CITR Vancouver.
The stars don't want
And welcome back to Tweets and Tunes on CITR. You just heard Mohawk Lodge from their album Damaged Goods and Voodoo. How do you do the voodoo that you do? After that was Modern Superstitions from their self-titled album School Days. And the rah-rah kicking that off, ending that set off from their album The Poet Dead with 20s. That is a great album. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, please do. Great band from Regina, Saskatchewan. And we are back in studio with Rebecca Bulwit, Miss 604. And let's talk a little bit now about 64 Media. And tell us exactly what you're doing there, how you are helping the marketing illiterate masses of the world.
Sure. 64 Media was the company that I started with my husband in 2008. I actually just passed my milestone of being self-employed for 4 years, which feels kind of good.
You can get financing now. You have 3 years of tax returns.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Financing for what? For anything?
For whatever you want. Yes,
okay.
That's true.
I'm really good at business. So we started it 4 years ago. Just we wanted to build websites. So we wanted to build websites using WordPress exclusively. We've been using that platform on my site and for various other sites since 2006. So I've got a lot of experience with it. And it's kind of grown over the years. It's an open source content management system. And it's grown from being known as just a simple blog platform to being really robust, powering websites from CNN to the White House to Miss604.com.
Mm-hmm. And tweetsandtunes.com, and powered by WordPress. Yes.
There you go. We just wanted to develop some themes, help people put together a website. We had so many people saying, I want to put together a website for this or that. And yeah, so we'd build that for them. And then over the years, we've just gotten some great clients who either want us to do their full website, or bigger clients who already have like a full website, but they have a campaign coming up. So they want to do a social media newsroom. That became our specialty, having a blog and kind of a news center with photo galleries and social media interactive all built right into the site. So we started doing those websites as well. And yeah, we get a great series of projects, and kind of rolled into that company as well. I do consulting. So if your company wants to have me in for an hour to talk to everybody in the boardroom about social media or Twitter etiquette or blogging for business, anything like that, I'll come do that as well. The only thing I won't do is run your Twitter for you or blog for you, but I'll teach you how to do it yourself and hand you over the keys to your blog and you can go.
Give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day.
There you
go. Sure. You know, talking about, it's interesting you bring that up, it's about talking to companies about Twitter etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
And BC Lions, great organization, and they've had some issues, as have many professional sports franchises, with players and tweeting things that are somewhat untoward. What's your advice for a company with respects to, you know, people that may have in their wings that may be a little bit more high profile, or a company that's high profile and they have someone? What is really good Twitter etiquette, aside from maybe if you wouldn't say it out loud, don't tweet it?
Yeah, basically. I think companies need to have a social media policy. So if you are known to be associated with that company, the social media policy that the company has is maybe, you know, put in your Twitter profile that views are yours and not of your employer, something basic like that. Or especially if you're being hired as like ABC company Jen, you know, they want your Twitter account to be that, then yeah, you should follow a strict policies for that. But if it's your own Twitter account, your first and last name, but Twitter's fully public unless you lock down your account. So unless you're okay also, you know, whatever you're posting on Twitter, unless you're okay also picking up the phone and calling the president of your company and saying those exact same things, don't do it. But yeah, companies should definitely have a policy of, you know, what is okay, what isn't okay, what's proper behavior, what isn't. And especially sports teams too, you know, if whatever was said on Twitter was also said in a press conference, it would still just not be okay as well. And you could get fined and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Good advice, yes, Twitter. It seemed like a good idea to post it at the time, but looking back, maybe not so much. All right, well, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today. It was just an absolute pleasure to meet you in person and have you here gracing the studios of CITR.
Thank you.
And we are going to end off your time here with us with the Miss 604 set. three bands that you emailed me that said, yeah, these are local Vancouver bands I like. So we've got Hey Ocean, Said the Whale, and Dan Magnan coming up here, and we'll kick it off with Hey Ocean, and from their album Is. And of course, if people want to find you, not that everyone doesn't know already where you are, mm-hmm. but they can find you on Twitter at Miss604 and then Miss604.com. And those are probably the best two ways to get a hold of you and find out all the wonderful things. And if you don't follow Rebecca on Twitter, make sure that you do. If you have any interest on anything that ever goes on in the Lower Mainland anywhere, I mean, like, what's going on right now at the 99 bus loop in Richmond? I'm pretty sure Rebecca tweeted about that earlier. She knows what's going on. But yeah, incredible source for anything you want to know as far as festivals, happenings, goings on, just anything you can think of about getting out and doing in the Lower Mainland. Rebecca does a great job of that. So again, thanks so much for coming in. We really appreciate you spending the time with us, and hopefully we can have you again soon.
Sure. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Rebecca.
I'm singing songs about the ocean, and every night's a lullaby to the coastal breeze and the salty seas. I've never felt so far from home. As we pass on through these mountains, I keep my back to western skies, where the sun, it seems, to always sleep, and where I wish I was going. She's the sea, she's the hardest thing to leave. I wish that she would notice, but the sea will never notice. Jolene, Jolene, that's what she sang to me, but it ain't nothing but her favorite country song. So this old van becomes a vessel, a beast of burden and a home. But those eastern shores are never yours, where I wish I was going, going. She would notice, but the sea will never notice. Jolene, Jolene, that's what she sang to me, but it ain't nothing but her favorite country song. Jolene, 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 Jolene. But it ain't nothing. And I'm sorry that I let you
care and I'd do anything, but I'm out on a limb here. And you're just sitting there, smoking your thin lip, lady size cigarettes and laughing.
Yeah. choices, bring voices, resound. Please be merry when I am buried in the ground. Nice to have the kids around.
Hey, it's true. You're listening to Tweets and Tunes on CITR. You can find us here every Wednesday morning. Every Wednesday morning, indeed. And I can't help but wonder to myself what that noise is in the background. Sounds good, though, whatever it is. Strange yet true. Okay, back on CITR. You just heard the Miss 604 set right off the bat. It was, of course, we started off with Hey Ocean Is, and their song Jolene, Said the Whale, from their album Little Mountain, and the song The Reason. And we finished it off with Dan Mangan from Oh Fortune, and the title track from there. Again, much thanks to Miss 604 from stopping in today and spending a whole lot of time with us. Great to have her in studio, and always love having social media experts, but people that are just good to talk to, that can talk a little music, that can talk a little social media, and we can chat about what's going on in the wide, wide world of sports. You know, speaking of social media, there is a great YouTube video. If you haven't seen this yet, stop by our website at www.tweetsandtunes.com, and you can go to our Laugh of the Week. For those of you who are familiar with the fantastic app called Instagram, of course, recently purchased by Facebook, of course, a little app that allows you to take pictures, put different filters on it, change the color, and photograph your entire life at every moment, and then share it with your friends, share it on different social networks. CollegeHumor.com did a parody of Nickelback's photograph called Look at This Instagram, and it is a couple minutes of incredible fun and humor. Make sure you go check this out. Again, check it out on the Laugh of the Week's tab on our website, tweetsandtunes.com. You will kill yourself. Hilarious, hilarious video. Definitely a good couple minutes to that you'll never get back, but you'll be glad that you didn't. All right, well, we've had a lot of talking today, so we'll get right back. And I don't know, let's play a set featuring Hotcakes and Horses of the Tirana variety.
There are a lot of things you're not allowed to grow in your basement in Vancouver. Vegetables are not one of those things.
SPEC and the YWCA are excited to introduce the Urban Farmer Field School. The UFFS provides hands-on training in sustainable agriculture, small farm business planning, and community food action.
Class instructors are experts in urban agriculture, food systems, and plant mind control. The integrated curriculum is divided between classroom theory and practical learning.
For more information, please visit the interweb and search for Farmer Field School at spec.bc.ca.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts downtown at
212 Productions, Beat Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, The Kiss Store, Heart and Soul Clothing, Inc., Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
The most of-
Boom! CITR Tweets and Tunes. You just heard Lisa's Hotcakes. Starting off the set, it was Tyrannohorse from the album Garbage Bears with Rumble Tumble. Lisa's Hotcakes sandwiched in the middle, a breakfast hotcake sandwich with Paradise from their Love Hurts EP. And we finished it off with Rain Over St. Ambrose from their album Truth for News and At Night with Friends. Great little band there from Halifax, and you can certainly hear that East Coast sultry sounds in their tunes. Great album. If you haven't had a chance to yet, go pick it up. You can find it on the internet and in music stores everywhere. I'd like to say that there's a lot going on. I usually like to read what's happening these days in music, but there's really nothing going on. Apologies to, of course, Julio Iglesias fans who really care that he hit number one on this day. I don't know. Not this year. A couple other things, of course. Whitney Houston. No, I'm not going to read that. You cannot go through this day in music without reading something about Elvis or the Beatles. So I'm going to choose the Beatles. Paul McCartney and Pete Best were arrested for pinning a condom to a brick wall and then igniting it. The two were told to leave Germany, and the Beatles returned home discouraged. Yes, discouraged indeed. Paul did not look so discouraged here a couple of weeks ago when he was in town. He seemed okay. Hey, look! Look who's limbering up on the chair next to me.
Doing my stretches before the show.
It's DJ Jack Velvet.
Right.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
I'm pretty well, thanks.
Good, good, good.
I underwent acupuncture yesterday.
Really? Acupuncture. That's not prison talk for something, is it?
No.
Okay. That's actual acupuncture.
Actual acupuncture.
You're paying a woman to stick needles in you.
It was a woman.
You know, years ago, they called that by another name.
Yeah, which voodoo.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, yes, voodoo would work well.
Crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got a show, a little show you do here on the radio.
Yes, I believe it starts in 5 minutes.
It's called the Suburban Jungle.
The Suburban Jungle.
The Suburban Jungle. Like a hoida toidles. Like a hoida toidles, the Suburban Jungle.
Toity toid and toid street.
Good times here on radio, my friends. Good times. Okay. Well, you know what? So that's true. We've got DJ Jack Velvet and the Suburban Jungle coming up next. We'll play a couple more songs here. You know, we're going to play a little July Talk from their self-titled album. Great track called Paper Girls. And then we'll play a little homage to the Suburban Jungle as we usher them in to the 8 o'clock hour, listening to Tweets and Tunes.
Don't ask a question, don't see my trust. You don't look pretty when you smile, so don't smile at all. You love me like a doctor, or still run with a broken leg. You're a paper girl with paper eyes, you're a paper crowd. And if you think
secrets in your tea, keep your paper heart away from me.
Well, it must be hard to be a pretty girl. Yeah, it must be hard to watch your body growing old. And I'll be laughing. Bird.
All right, you are back. CITR, we are 90 minutes just about in the books. You're listening to Tweets and Tunes. We are out of here for another week. You can follow us throughout the week on our website at tweetsandtunes.com. You can find us on Twitter at tweetsandtunes. And you can even find us on Facebook at facebook.com/@tweetsandtunes. Always good to pay homage to those who have come before us, or in this case, those who are coming right up after us. Leaving you, heading on into the suburban jungle with DJ Jack Velvet, and this is Ursula 1000.
Check this out.